Psalm 86:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to be occupied with thy name. Psalm 86:11. Proverbs 24:3. By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Proverbs 24:3. Daniel 12:3. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Daniel 12:3. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 12. Revelation chapter 1, verse 12. We'll spend just a few moments in prayer before we begin our study this evening. You'll find Revelation 1, 12 on the screen before you, and you will also find it on the back of last Sunday's bulletin. So if you kept last Sunday's bulletin handy, then you have it on the back of the bulletin. We have Revelation 1:11 and Revelation 1:12 on the back of last Sunday's bulletin. We spend a moment now in prayer before we begin our study, realizing as always the importance of being in harmony with our Lord as we study His wonderful Word. May we pray together, please. Tonight, Father, we're grateful for the fact that we have the wonderful privilege of being here. You've given us the strength, you've given us health, you've given us the ability to leave our homes and be in this auditorium tonight. And we're here because we desire to receive again the impartation and dissemination of your magnificent Word. We realize that the Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. We have the responsibility of receiving spiritual fuel for our souls, that we might function as you desire for us to function while we're here on this earth. We're thankful indeed tonight for the fact that we're members of the family of God, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're thankful for this magnificent book of Revelation and the privilege which is ours now to turn our attention away from the things of this world, the distractions, and focus our minds upon these beautiful truths. We're thankful that you've given us in this magnificent book the assurance that we would be blessed if we read, and then we'll be blessed for those who hear the words of this prophecy and those who heed the things which are written in this magnificent book. And so we're blessed tonight because we can read this book. We're blessed because we can study and learn and utilize the things which we learn. And we ask that you'll be with those tonight who have burdens and heartaches and trials and tests and difficulties. There are those of our church family who are physically ill. We pray for them. There are those who have heavy hearts who are the recipients of various types of difficulties in life, and we pray for comfort for them. We ask your blessings upon our missionaries tonight, those who are having such great difficulty in Pakistan, those who have difficulties in other areas like the Philippine Islands, in Africa, Germany, in other places. We pray for our missionaries. We ask again now that these moments will be for all of us very important, precious moments. And we thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to begin our reading with Revelation 1, verse 7, and read down through verse 13. Behold, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. Even so, amen. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Revelation 1:9. I, John, your brother, and fellow partner in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus, was on the isle called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day And I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet saying, write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamum, to Thyatira, and to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the middle of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet, girded across his chest with a golden girdle. On the screen tonight, you see Revelation 1:12. John turned to see the voice which was speaking to him. And the scripture says, having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. We're going to spend just a few moments to analyze exegetically what we have in this magnificent verse of scripture. We discover that John out there on the Isle of Patmos is telling us here that he turned to see the voice. We discover that he turned around, and that is the Greek word epistrepho. He turned around to see the voice, and the word there that is used for voice is blepein, B-L-E-P-E-I-N from B-L-E-P-O. And this, of course, is an interesting word because it shows with the particular type of verb it is. It's a verb in the infinitive mood. It shows a wish or desire on the part of John out there on the Isle of Patmos to take a good look and understand what's happening here with this voice that is behind him. I turned to see the voice which spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. What we're going to do tonight, instead of analyzing all the various verbs that we have here, we're going to see the last line on the screen. It says, I saw seven golden lampstands. If you'll follow along, please, let me show you that we have, for instance, the word I saw. And it is the Greek word eidon, E-I-D-O-N. The next word is the word seven, which is hepta, H-E-P-T-A. The next two words are very important because it emphasizes the type of lampstand. And it is describing it by the use of the word L-U-C-H-N-I-A, and that is the word golden. Let me stop for just a second or two and let you see that John said, I saw. And the word saw is the word that we've analyzed many, many times. It is the Greek word horao, H-O-R-A-O. We've reminded you in the past that this is the word from which we get our English word horizon. It is a look from one side all the way to the other side, the horizon look. And you'll notice that it is an aorist active indicative verb. It is emphasizing at a point of time that John saw. And the indicative mood is the mood of reality. And so this reveals to us that John, out there on the Isle of Patmos, had a most unusual, magnificent, marvelous, triumphant experience. I saw, and then he saw seven golden lampstands. John sees seven golden lampstands, is what we have here in Revelation 1:12, which is an extraordinary figure, which he describes now in detail, beginning with verse 13 and go down to verse 16. Over the next few days, we're going to be analyzing those verses. Powerful verses indeed, verses 13, 14, 15, and 16. The figure that is given here reminds us of the man of the Old Testament in Daniel chapter 10, where it says that the man was dressed in linen. This is how Daniel saw it on the bank of the great river Tigris in Daniel chapter 10, verses 4 through 6. In other words, John's vision, like Daniel's, is given a precise geographical location. And the two have in common what is revealed here in this passage as a golden belt or sash, shining face, eyes like fire, feet burnished bronze, and an overwhelming voice. That's presented to us in the book of Daniel. That's presented to us in the book of Revelation. Other biblical visions, Ezekiel, for instance, in Ezekiel chapter 9, gives us this statement, a man clothed in linen at the Jerusalem temple. This is Ezekiel chapter 9, verse 2, verse 3, verse 11. If we go back to the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 7, verse 9, we have what is described as Daniel's Ancient of Days. And then the scripture says there, whose clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head white like wool. That's found in Daniel chapter 7, verse 9. When you go down to Daniel chapter 7, verse 13, you'll read, one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. What I'm trying to do is to point out that all these experiences presented to us in Daniel or Ezekiel were not, however, holding seven stars. And none of these had a sharp, double-edged sword sticking out of his mouth. But that's exactly what you find in Revelation chapter 1, verse 16. I want to put something on the screen for you tonight so that you can understand when we go to a passage of Scripture what we have. There's a word that you need to put in your vocabulary if you don't already have it, and it is the word Shekinah. Shekinah is the word which translated means he caused to dwell. I'm aware of the fact that that's probably not a better way to present it, even though that's literally what it means. Shekinah means he caused to dwell. But I believe a better way to say that is Shekinah means divine visitation or divine presence. So I'd like for you to keep in mind these words, divine presence or divine visitation. That is going to take us now to the Old Testament. And I'm going to ask you, if you will, please, to turn in your Old Testament to the 25th chapter of the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 25. I'll give you time to find it because I want you to see that we're going to be analyzing what is presented to us in this passage of Scripture as the golden lampstand. Seven golden lampstands are presented to us in our passage of Scripture. The golden lampstand is presented to us in Exodus chapter 25, verses 31 to 40. Since you found it, now I'm going to begin to read. Then you shall make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand and its base and its shaft are to be made of hammered work. Its cups, its bulbs, its flowers shall be of one piece with it. Exodus chapter 25, now verse 32. And six branches shall go out from its sides, three branches of the lampstand from its one side, and three branches of the lampstand from its other side. Now verse 33. Three cups shall be shaped like almond blossoms in the one branch, a bulb and a flower, and three cups shaped like almond blossoms in the other branch. A bulb and a flower so for six branches going out from the lampstand. Exodus 25, now verse 34. And in the lampstand, four cups shaped like almond blossoms, its bulbs, its flowers. And a bulb shall be under the first pair of branches coming out of it, and a bulb under the second pair of branches coming out of it, and a bulb under the third pair of branches coming out of it, for the six branches coming out of the lampstand. Exodus 25, 36. Their bulbs and their branches shall be of one piece with it. All of it shall be one piece of hammered work of pure gold. Then you shall make its lamps seven in number. And they shall mount its lamps so as to shed light on the space in front of it. And its snuffers and their trays shall be of pure gold. Verse 39. It should be made from a talent of pure gold with all these utensils. And see that you make them after the pattern for them which was shown to you on the mountains. What I'd like to do now is to let you see what we've just placed on the screen for you to be able to take a few notes. The golden lampstand is described for us in our passage of Scripture, which I've just read to you, Exodus chapter 25, verses 31 to 40. Before you begin to even look at point one, I want to mention the fact that we have emphasized in our Scripture in Revelation 1:12 that the word is golden and then the word lampstand. We have what is known in the Greek as two words, a double accusative, which simply means that two words are used in the accusative case. The accusative case is the direct object of the sentence. So we have seven golden lampstands. The first word is the word golden, which is G-O-L-D-E-N, and it is the Greek word C-H-R-U-S-O-S, chrusos. What I'd like for you to notice tonight is that we have the two accusative case words, and I'm going to put this up here so that you can begin to see, and I'm not sure how it's best to do this, but I will also point out the fact that there are different words in the Scripture that present to us the word for light. So I'm going to put this on the screen and let you look at it for just a moment. And by the way, if you're looking at the original text, if you're looking at the Greek verb or the Greek words that are in Revelation 1:12, you'll probably be able to see this accusative case word. In the Scripture, there are synonymous words for the word light. On the screen now, I have placed these, and I'm doing it very rapidly. If you'll notice that the first word is phos, P-H-O-S. The second word, and by the way, I can explain just a little bit about each one of these while you look at them, but if you'll glance down, you will see that the Greek word that is used in our text is this one right down here, which is L-U-C-H-N-I-A. So keep that in mind as we move back to our verse of Scripture in a little bit. The word phos is the word light. It is the opposite of darkness. It is used especially in relationship to the Heavenly Father. It is presenting the Lord Jesus Christ, for instance, in John 1:4, John 1:5, John 8:12, 1 John 1:5. You don't have to get all these verses, but I'm just trying to point out the fact that the word light is used in many different ways in the New Testament. These are synonymous words for light, and the one that I've just presented to you is the word phos. The second one is phoster, P-H-O-S-T-E-R, a light or a light giver. It is used of a starlight, a light holders or light bearers. It's found in the Hebrew language of Genesis chapter 1, verse 14 and 16. The third word that you see on the screen is photismos, which is P-H-O-T-I-S-M-O-S. It means illumination. It is a word for shining. It's a word for lighting. And then the next word is lupnos, L-U-C-H-N-O-S. It's a portable lamp fed by oil. If you'll follow along carefully, you're going to see what the meaning of all this is as we move along. It means that which burns for a long time, and then it would go out, as in John chapter 5, 35. The next word is lucnia, L-U-C-H-N-I-A, and it is the word that is translated lampstand. And that's the word that we're looking at here in Revelation chapter 1, verse 12. The next word that you see is lampas, L-A-M-P-A-S. I have it there for you in the English and also in the Greek. And that is the word for torch. You find it in Judges chapter 7, verse 16 and 20. It emphasizes the fact that it's a small vessel. It's fed with oil, and it is used for lighting. The last word that you see on the Greek on the screen is the Greek word phenos, which is an interesting one, and that is when you find two G's together in the Greek, it is an N-G. So you have P-H-E-N-G-O-S. And it is the word used for moonlight. It is found in Luke 11:33, where it is used of a lamplight, and it is used in other places. Only thing I'm trying to do now is to let you see that the golden lampstand that is described for us in Exodus 25:31-40, the point one is, it was the only light in the holy place. The only light in the holy place. Now, you have to understand that in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 2, there was a lampstand in the tabernacle. And in Exodus chapter 25, the lampstand, which we've read tonight, is described for us. We've emphasized the fact of the Shekinah glory, and we'll find that this is God's presence, God's power, and God's attention to various aspects. So we'll put down the points. Only light in the holy place. Number two, the Shekinah glory was the only light in the Holy of Holies. Just as the Shekinah glory was the only light in the Holy of Holies, so the Luchnia, L-U-C-H-N-I-A, was the only light in the holy place of the tabernacle. Number three, which you see on the screen, the central branch of the lampstand always represents the Lord Jesus Christ. I've tried to abbreviate this so that you wouldn't have to take a lot of notes, but let me explain some things on point three. The central branch of the lampstand always represents the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived his life inside of the power sphere which is divine, and he established the pattern for the Christian way of life. I have a desire to go to a lot of information for you tonight, and I don't want to go so fast that you'll miss what I'm trying to emphasize. When Jesus Christ became the God-man, God gave to him, and he was the recipient in his humanity, of a power that was magnificent. It is the power that he depended upon while he was in the flesh. And that is, he lived his life within the framework of the divine dynasphere, which had been provided for him. And this is important for us to see, because that is the same thing that has been provided for us. And that is, we're not like Jesus Christ because he did not have a sinful nature, and we do. But we do have the assurance that God has provided for us a divine power sphere so that we can live a triumphant, victorious life. So we have a central branch in the lampstand, and the central branch always represents the Lord Jesus Christ. We have an emphasis upon the fact that Jesus Christ lived his life inside of the divine power sphere, which is a presentation and a pattern for the Christian way of life for us today. We remember always the central branch represents the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll move along to point four. There are six branches. Six branches represents believers in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll stop for just a few moments to emphasize the fact here that we are the recipients of the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's the reason why I have BHS on point four. Six branches represents believers in union with Christ. We are the recipients of the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit. The six branches actually represents believers who are in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. So just as Christ is represented by the central branch, there are six branches coming out of the center, and they represent union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Most of you have seen this before, but here we have very quickly a picture of the menorah, the picture of the lampstand. This has been referred to as the golden candlestick or the golden lampstand. I'll pause for just a moment to tell you that we read tonight that this particular lampstand was to be made out of one solid piece of gold. All of us probably understand that. We've discovered that the amount of gold that is estimated to make this particular lampstand weighed about 94 pounds. And so I looked it up today just for my own information to find out what gold's running and the London fixed rate. I figured that up, and I tried to figure out the troy ounces and how many pounds, 94. And I want you to know that figuring on today's basis, it would be somewhere between $1.5 million to $2 million. I just thought that would be interesting for you to have as a side issue. But anyway, we have a picture here. This is a solid piece of gold beaten out. A lot of things we're going to talk about this, but you're able to see just a glimpse of the picture there. Six branches represents believers in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. We become believers, as we all know, by being born into God's kingdom. That involves the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit. We'll go quickly to number 5. The hidden part of the lamp was the oil. And I have some comments to make about that while you take down that simple little point. The hidden part of the lamp is the oil, which represents the believer functioning inside of God's sphere of power. Each one of the lamps contains oil, but the oil is hidden. In other words, you cannot see it. What you and I see is the light. When the wick is burning, I almost decided that I would bring one of our old antique lamps up here. I thought about doing that so you could see it. We'd have an oil, we have a wick, we could light it, we have a chimney. Most of you older folks have seen an old oil lamp. I need to tell you, for instance, that I shouldn't even be telling you this. I grew up on a farm. We did not have electricity at the beginning of my early days, and we had coal oil lamps. I'm very familiar with oil. I'm familiar with the wick. I'm familiar with trimming the wicks. I'm familiar with cleaning the chimney. I'm familiar with all these things. You folks probably have never had that experience at all. But I want you to know that the hidden part of the lamp is the oil, which represents the believer functioning inside of God's magnificent power sphere. Each one of the lamps contains oil, but the oil was hidden. What you see is the light. And the wick, of course, was necessary, and the wick had to be trimmed. I put in my notes, you cannot actually see the oil. That is reference to the Holy Spirit. It's a reference to the fact that you and I are the recipients of the filling of the Holy Spirit, and I cannot look at you, and I cannot see the power of the Holy Spirit, the great invisible power in your life and mine. The visible part of the lampstand, of course, is the light which burns as the oil comes through the wick. That takes us to point 6, which you see on the screen. The oil is brought up through the wick, and that simply emphasizes the fact of the believer. I jotted myself a little note right here. The wick, then, is the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The light is the function that is operating and the operational virtues in the life of the believer who's following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. The oil is brought up through the wick, and then there is light. That takes me to point 7 very quickly. 6 branches are believers joined to the central branch, giving light. Now, what I need to do is to move quickly and let you see some other things that I have for you. We'll go to an emphasis on the golden lampstand. Specifically, let's look, for instance, at 3 major elements of the golden lampstand. I've listed it like this. There's the invisible, there's the visible, and there's the conveyor. Now, let's talk about that for just a few moments to let you see what we're trying to get over. We are emphasizing here the fact that essentially the lampstand is composed of 3 basic elements: the invisible, the visible, and the conveyor. Now, some of you are jumping ahead and you're already writing this, but let me go ahead and give you point 1. The invisible, then, is an emphasis upon the oil, which is an emphasis upon the believer filled with the Holy Spirit. Number 2, the visible is the light. That is the believer functioning on a day-by-day basis. Number 3, the central shaft is primarily an emphasis on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we want to see those three things. The invisible is the oil. The visible is the light. The central shaft is a primary emphasis on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now keep that in mind as we move along and see what happens next. Number four, the six branches indicate the believer in union with our Savior, Jesus Christ. The six branches indicate the believer in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. What is so magnificent is for us to be able to see that you and I, because we have been born into God's kingdom, have been transformed by the magnificent Spirit of God in regeneration. The dry baptism of the Holy Spirit has placed us into the family of God. That's the reason why the Bible says that we're heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. It is the dry baptism of the Holy Spirit that regenerates and that causes us to be the recipients of all the various ministries of the Holy Spirit. There's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. There's the indwelling of Christ. There's the filling of the Holy Spirit. There's the sealing ministry of the Holy Spirit. And each believer has been given a gift or gifts by the Holy Spirit. How fantastic it is for us to realize that we have the responsibility as believers in Jesus Christ to give off the light. Number five, the gold represents the divine dynasphere as the key to the Christian way of life. Let's pause for a few moments and look at this. When we think in terms of the menorah, when we think in terms of the lampstand, we think in terms of the fact that it was made out of a solid piece of gold, 94 pounds. I don't know whether you have thought about this or not, but 94 pounds is quite a bit of gold. And I'm aware of the fact that this thing was beaten in such a fashion and is described as we found it in the book of Exodus, beautifully presented. So the gold represents the divine dynasphere as the key to the Christian way of life. Let's pause for a moment on that and let's see what God has given to us as believers. God has given to us a system which is so magnificent, which we call the divine power sphere. It's a system in which we can live so we can find ourselves triumphant, victorious, on a day-by-day basis. We've already emphasized all the various facets. I would imagine that if I came and sat by your side, you could give me all of the eight steps around the divine dynasphere. I trust that you could. I trust you'd be able to emphasize the fact that there's the filling of the Holy Spirit and restoration to fellowship. All the other facets related to that, all the way over to point four, which is perception and application. And then love for God, love for fellow man, all the various things, all the way over here to step eight, which is C-H-A-R-A, joy. Did I leave any of them out for you? Did you put them in while I went through it rapidly? I'm sure you're able to do that. The divine power sphere, which God has given to every born-again believer. The gold represents the divine dynasphere as the key to the Christian way of life. There are a lot of people today who have not even heard about the divine dynasphere. You have, and you are the recipients, and I am a recipient of God's great magnificent truths in relationship to the victory that can be ours when we choose to live inside of that divine power sphere. Stay with me for a few moments. The royal ambassadorship is visible. The royal priesthood is invisible. What I want you to see there is that the Bible teaches us that we as members of the royal family are royal ambassadors. And that simply means that as royal ambassadors, that's the visible part of your life and mine. That's the light that shines on a day-by-day basis. The royal priesthood is the invisible. As goes the believer, so goes our nation. So let me put this up here for you. The light that burns from the golden lampstand is a picture then of the believer living his life, her life, inside of the divine dynasphere. You're copying this down perhaps, so I'm repeating. The light that burns from the golden lampstand is the believer living inside of the divine dynasphere. The divine dynasphere is God's plan for the believer in the church age. There's no question about this. The divine dynasphere is God's plan for the believer in the church age, which is the invisible part of the Christian life. What have I just said? I've said that if there's a proper invisible, there's going to be the proper visible. In other words, if there's a proper relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, we will be royal ambassadors. If we're fulfilling God's plan, we're going to fulfill God's magnificent plan in relationship to our priesthood. And that simply means that every born-again believer is an individual priest. Let's look at it in its entirety on the page before us now. Light. The light that burns from the golden lampstand is the believer living inside the divine dynasphere. The divine dynasphere is God's plan for the believer in the church age, which is the invisible and also the visible part of the Christian life. Am I going too rapidly tonight for you to be able to comprehend what I'm trying to get over? This is so fantastic. I trust that you'll be able to take these notes and analyze this even when the service is over. The invisible life is related to the royal priesthood. I'll pause on that for a moment. The invisible life is related to the royal priesthood. The visible life is related to the royal ambassadorship. I'm giving you time to think about that. The invisible life is related to the royal priesthood. You remember that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world. And the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom, which opened up and gave access to every individual to God's throne of grace. You and I must be able to see this. That has made it possible for us to be individual priests. You'll understand the last two statements here, but I want you to see what I'm saying in the statement at the beginning. The invisible life is related to the royal priesthood. What your life is really like and what my life is really like is related to the royal priesthood. What you and I are like inside on a day-by-day basis, what we think, what motivates us, what our lifestyle is all about, what really is most important in your life and mine is related to our royal priesthood. The visible life is related to the royal ambassadorship. Royal ambassadorship simply means that the light from the inside has been turned on. And it simply means that every believer is a priest representing himself, herself, to God. And every believer is an ambassador representing God to man. This will blow your mind if you'll really let it sink in. And that is what your responsibility and mine is. We are to be properly related as individual priests. We'll be studying that in great detail in coming days. But right now, we're just laying a little foundation. Every believer is a priest representing himself, herself, to God. God knows everything. God knows our thinking. God knows our actions. God knows our motivation. Every believer is a priest representing himself, herself, to God. And every believer is an ambassador representing God to man. Well, what more can I give you? We'll go back to our verse. I know what's going to happen. I'm going to have everybody run over me tonight because I probably have gone so fast here that you missed a lot of it. Revelation 1:12. Let's get the mental picture once again. John is out there on the Isle of Patmos. This is one of the most unusual experiences. By the way, are you aware of the fact that the disciples who became apostles, as far as we can tell, all of the apostles were in some way crucified other than the apostle John. And he lived way beyond the age of the others. Most of us are aware of the fact that the book of Revelation was written in 96 AD. This was a time when the Roman emperor came on the scene and had him banished out there to the Isle of Patmos. We're told that he probably lived until 117 AD. If that be true, that lets us know that the Apostle John lived a good long life, didn't he? And he died. But out here on the Isle of Patmos, we discover that God said, in essence, I have a message for all the people of history. I have a message for you to give, and I want to give it to you. It's amazing to me when I begin to just glance through this. There's so much I do not understand. There's so much I'm sure that you do not understand. He said, I was in spirit on the day of the Lord, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet saying, write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches. And then he names those churches. And then verse 12 is our verse. I turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. That's where we are. And in the middle of the lampstands, one like a son of man. And then now from verse 13, 14, 15, 16, we have a description. In the middle of the lampstand, one like the Son of Man, clothed in a robe, reaching to the feet, the great high priest. Do you see it? And girded across his breast, his chest with a golden girdle. His head and his hair were white like white wool, like snow. And his eyes were like a flame of fire. And his feet were like burnished bronze when it had been caused to glow in a furnace. His voice was like the sound of many waters. And in his right hand, he held seven stars. I have to smile when I think about that. There's a great possibility that he's thinking about the preacher there. Out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in his strength. And when John saw it, I fell at his feet, he said, as a dead man. All these things, I believe, are very, very important. He laid his left hand upon me. No, he didn't lay his left. He laid his right hand upon me, saying, do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last. And everything in between. I'm Alpha and Omega. And everything in between. Cast your cares upon me, for I care for you. Don't be afraid. Don't punch any panic buttons. Be aware of the fact that I'm in charge of history. And I have a responsibility for each one of you as born-again believer that you realize the importance of living your life inside the divine dynasphere so that you can be manifesting what's going on the inside outside. as you are an individual priest, and that relationship is so fantastic, you're going to be a magnificent royal ambassador. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world, but he also said, you are the light of the world. Don't hide your light so that people will not be able to see it. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I saw 7 golden lampstands. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Tonight, Father, we realize that we have a responsibility like which we have never really realized. But it's becoming more evident that you have us here on the earth for a few more years, perhaps, and there's a reason for our being here. Every person in this auditorium today, they're here because you have a purpose and a plan for their individual life. We do not know what the future holds, but we do know that you're the one who holds the future. And we pray that we will place our trust and confidence in your grace and love and blessings. And that we will determine in our hearts that we're going to be the proper type of representatives of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we'll let the light of Christ shine no matter where we are and whatever the circumstances are. For those who hear the message who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, the only way that they can ever be in God's wonderful family is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we know that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way except through Him. And the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. We pray that there will be those who will do that just now. And we thank you over and over again for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.